massive compact by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday five things, which none embraces but thy generosity, and none supports but thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey thee. Worship by which I may deserve thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that thou makest me secure in the places of fear through thy security. And placest me in thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profits on the day of resurrection. Surely, thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, salam, and Allah's peace be upon all of you, dear friend, who listens to this episode of Today's Special from IRIB English Radio on Wednesday, 28th of Rabiul Awwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Mehr, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of October, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
I never thought about all the things you have given to me. I never thanked you once. I was too proud to see the truth and prostrate to you. Until I took the first step, and that's when you opened the doors for me. Now, Allah, I realize what I was missing by being far from you.
In this part, let's listen to one ayah from one of the chapters of the Holy Quran. For today, chapter An-Nisa, verse 81.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ويقولون طاعة فإذا برزوا من عندك بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول والله يكتب ما يبيتون فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
And they say, we pledge obedience. But when they leave you, a group of them spend the night determining to do other than what you say. But Allah records what they plan by night. So leave them alone and rely upon Allah. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the Quran has pointed to the situation of some hypocrites. It says that when they come beside the Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, they harmonize with others and express that they obey the command of the Holy Prophet. But when go out from the presence of the Prophet, they neglect their promises, and in their night meetings, they make some decisions against the Holy Prophet. That is, yet Allah commands His Messenger to turn aside from them with no fear. He is ordered not to rely on them in his affairs, but to trust only in Allah, who is the best assisting helper and the protector.
Life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you.
But let's go to our topic of this episode, that is living a godly life. How? A life worth living starts by having life goals. A life without goals is boring, don't you think? Goals give us directions and happiness. It gives us a reason to live. Goals also help us improve ourselves. A life goal is not just a single mountain where you overcome it and, well, that is it. It should take you through your entire life. It is a life mission. It is continuous. It goes beyond you even after death. You know why we hate death? Because we have built our dunya and we have grown to be so attached to it, to love it, that we have unknowingly destroyed our akhirah. So it is only wise that we build both our dunya and akhirah. That's the goal of having a life worth living and worth living.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Today we are going to talk about the godlike life. The next way to make our lives a godlike lives, we need to contemplate on our sins. Thinking about sin leads one towards sin. There is a real relationship between one's mind and external life. Imam alayhi salam advises against lamenting over trivial matters, as this leads to greater misery. Expressing poverty and distress leads one into poverty. Nothing is given to a believer except due to their good opinion of Allah and their optimism towards Him. Entrust your wealth to someone who can preserve it and increase it, returning it to you when needed. This means giving your wealth as charity for Allah's sake, trading with Allah's blessed and beneficial. Trading with Allah is blessed and beneficial. Thus, one should persist in it. So, a next point at hand that we need to refer to is good or bad outcomes. What do we mean by that? The act of thinking positively or negatively reflects a truth. If we emulate a patient person, we will become patient ourselves. One's perspective influences their life. Negative thinking brings about negative outcomes. The state of one's mind affects their peace or distress. These matters depend on oneself. Anyone wishing to enjoy life must change within themselves.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah.
During this week, in different episodes of today's special, we'll look at the advice of Imam Ali to his son. Today, another part of it. Why? Because we want to live a God-conscious life. Subdue your untamed soul, unrestrained desires of the heart with the vision of death. Make it see the transient nature of life and all of its trappings. Let your natural self-reliance, the inevitability of the encountering misfortunes, adversities, changing circumstances, and changing times. Study the lives of the people gone by. See the ruined cities, the dilapidated palaces, the decaying signs, the relics of fallen empires, and the perished nations. Then meditate over the lives of those people as to what they did when they were alive and were in power, what they accomplished, and what was their contribution to human welfare. If you carefully ponder over these, you will find that each one of those individuals has parted company with the others, leaving behind all that he cherished and loved, and now he is in a solitary abode or grave. Therefore, realize that you will also depart from this world in a similar manner. Take care to provide for your future abode. Do not trade away eternal blessings for the transient pleasures of this mortal world. Allah says in the Quran, "The parable of the life of this world is that of water which we send down from the sky. It mingles with the earth's vegetation from which humans and cattle eat. When the earth puts on its luster and is adorned, and its inhabitants think they have power over it, our edict comes to it by night or day, whereat we turn it into a mound filled, as if it did not flourish the day before. Thus do we elaborate the signs for a people who reflect." Allah, by this verse, is saying that life in this world is not lasting but transitory. It is fleeting and will quickly come to an end, whereas life in the hereafter is eternal and infinite. Therefore, we must live life in such a way that our life in the hereafter is bettered and we are prosperous. Otherwise, life in this world will quickly come to an end before we know it. As a result, we must make the best use of it.
You know, there is even a hadith from either the Prophet or one of the Imams where he says, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرْحَةٌ عَنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ وَفَرْحَةٌ عَنْدَ إِفْطَارِهِ. He says that Allah rewards the fast, the person that fasts twice. The first is when he eats. This is the reward. How happy you are, right? You're eating your food. And number two is the thawab of Allah Azza wa Jal, the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the Prophet, this was how salah was with him. Not fasting. Salah, it was the most joyous thing for him in his life. And then the Prophet says, but indeed I love salah even more than you. The starving person loves his food. Why? Because after you finish your meal, you don't want that food anymore, right? After you are full from your iftar meal, do you still want to eat? No. That rice and chicken and kebab that looks so delicious, it's not that interesting anymore, right? Because you are so stuffed that you could barely breathe, right? That's how we eat in Ramadan. So you're not interested. You don't want that food anymore. The Prophet says, when I pray, I am never satisfied. He says, I never get full of salah. I never get, you know, satisfied. The more I pray, the more I want to pray. So I love salah more than you love your own food. This was how Rasulullah was and Imam Hussein was. They did not see salah as burnt. Why? Because they loved Allah. You and I don't love Allah. That's the honest truth, brothers and sisters. When you love someone, you will love serving that person, right? You love your father, you love serving him. You love your mother, you love serving her. You love your spouse, you love serving your spouse. Except Allah. We don't love serving him. We do it as like a chore. We do it like it's just an obligation, a ritual, just to get over with it.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. All praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. I hope you have a beautiful day today. So in this beautiful day, we have a beautiful hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding controlling anger and wrath, some problem that we are dealing every day. Almost all of us, we deal with this problem, and some of, for some of us, it's more drastic and more problematic. When it comes to interaction with others, with our family members and friends, different people that we come across in streets, for example, we have a car accident, over like finding a parking place, space, etc., etc. In different situations, we may get angry. So it's very important to stay calm and control our anger and don't let shaitan take the better of us and take advantage of that situation and our anger. Imam Ali alayhi salam in this beautiful hadith says that the anger is a kind of madness. And if the angry person doesn't regret, doesn't like become regretful of his anger, doesn't calm himself down, his anger, his craziness, his madness is stable, is established, is firm. It's like perpetuate anger, some madness that would last. So it's like a disease. A person came to the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and asked, "Oh, the Prophet of Allah, teach me something that would make me happy forever. That would, make me a successful person in life." The Holy Prophet told him, "Do not be angry. Calm down. Do not get angry. Cool down." So the person might have wondered, why did the Holy Prophet, out of all things, advise me to control my anger? But he said, he's the Prophet, he knows best, so I should go now. He went back to his tribe. Back in his absence, something had happened, and his tribe had some like quarrel with another tribe, and they were about to fight each other, one another, and they were like ready, weapons in hand, to start a bloody war. So the man got angry as well as others. He went and dressed for war. Then suddenly he remembered the advice of the Holy Prophet: do not get angry, calm down. So he immediately put the weapon down, went to the other tribe, the opponent tribe, and said, "Whatever harm has come to you, I will compensate. And I will take it on me, whatever I can, as far as I can." So that tribe, they accepted that his like wise suggestion. They got calm, and the whole thing went cool and ended in peace. So we need this in our society. We need this in our society. We don't need to escalate everything. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and our honorable guest, dear brother Muhammad Reza, is here with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. In the first part, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran. After that, we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, and then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to listen to some other interesting Quranic parts. So stay tuned.
IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed points.
Reciter's biography.
Quranic books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. This prominent master of recitation had a unique style, and it's really difficult to follow his style of recitation. You can say it's impossible to imitate him. He was known as Malikul Waqf wal Ibtida wa Tanrim, which Brother Muhammad is going to talk more about that. The skill of this prominent master of Waqf wal Ibtida was to the point that one of the university professors, Dr. Isa V. Muhammad Naja, wrote his doctorate dissertation on the art of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan in Waqf wal Ibtida. Even in Egypt, because of his skill in Waqf wal Ibtida, Sheikh Hassan was called jurisprudent reciter. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, reciting verse 151 of Surah Al-An'am, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, say, come, I will recite unto you that which your Lord hath made a sacred duty for you, that ye ascribe nothing as partner unto Him, and that ye do good to parents, and that ye slay not your children because of penury. We provide for you and for them, and that ye draw not nigh to lewd things, whether open or concealed, and that ye slay not the life which Allah hath made sacred, save in the course of justice. This He hath commanded you in order that ye may discern.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل تعالوا أتل ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا وللوالدين إحسانا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم من إملاق نحن نرزقكم
وَلَا
ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ذلكم وصاكم
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verse 151 of Suratul An'am, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yeah, sure. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. First, let's talk about the style of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, the style of his recitation. Just like he said, it's extremely difficult to follow his style, to imitate the style of Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Aziz Hassan, because it has so much variety and so many maqams are used in different ways and they are combined with one another. And in general, his recitation is unpredictable. Okay? Even the ones who follow the style of Hassan, they don't have the creativity of Sheikh Hassan in their recitation. They just imitate some of the simple maqams and melodies that he has used. And he is Malikul Waqf wal Ibtida. Some say that Hassan, he has a short breath and he can't, you know, recite very long verses and two lines or three lines. But that's not true, in my opinion. I think Hassan, he is so adept at using the maqams that even when he recites like half a line, he uses so many melodies in various ways that, you know, the listener becomes satisfied and it feels that, okay, that's
astonished
enough.
Maybe
not just astonished, the listener becomes satisfied with that much of the Quran that is recited.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we could say that it's a compressed,
mm-hmm, saturated use, you mean
saturated or compressed usage of maqamat. Okay, so even though he's reciting in a very short intervals and short lines of the Quran, he's showing many maqams, and it's a very technical recitation. Yes, just like you said, Sheikh Hassan is Malikul Waqf wal Ibtida, meaning he has a good knowledge. He has great knowledge of waqf, stopping, and
where
continuing.
To stop.
Where to stop. For example, if he says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ, it has one meaning. Then he could say, عَلَيْكُمْ أَلَّا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. It is obligatory on you not to associate partners with Allah, associate anything with Allah. This could be one example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on where you stop from where you continue,
mm-hmm,
and that's it.
And now if you agree, let's talk about some tajweed points.
Yes, just quickly, I'll mention some tajweed points. The first one is ihsana. The ha was pronounced with buha and also rakhawa. Ihsana. If you say ihsana, the buha is not enough.
It's not complete, yeah.
Yes. Imlaqa. The qaf is sakin. You have to apply qalqala, and Sheikh Hassan does that. Batan. This is very difficult to pronounce. Ba-ton. We have first a letter of istifal, followed by a letter of isti'la.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one should be pronounced with tarqiq.
Thinness.
Yes, and the second one with tafkhim. Batan.
The second highest level.
At the second highest level, exactly.
Batan.
Yes. Bilhaqqa. The qaf has a tashdeed, okay? So if you apply qalqala, you should hold it for some time and then release the qaf.
To show the tashdeed.
Tashdeed, yes. Thalikum wassakum. The meme is pronounced with ilhar, the first meme. Wassakum bihi. The second meme has ikhfa. And finally, the third meme, la'allakum ta'qilun. Again, the meme has ilhar.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. Don't go away. On June 29th, 2014, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, said, "The Holy Quran should be read by paying careful attention. We should pay attention that a mere formation of sounds is not enough. We should read the Holy Quran by paying attention to the meaning and to Quranic requests. If this is done, then the Islamic community will find its path. Allah is the protector of those who have faith. From the depth of darkness, He will let them forth into light." Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
The ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
On that morn, before the world was born, in this lonely world I hear that music near and far. Did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the Ever-Merciful, all praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the Prophets, Muhammad, and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua, and I am Abdul Rida Bahrani. Insha'Allah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now, let's listen to some passages of this Ziyarat.
The Ziyarah of al-Yasin.
As-salamu alayka ayyaha al-alam al-mansoob wal-ilm al-masboob wal-ghawth والرحمة الواسعة وعدا غير مكذوب.
Peace be upon you, O appointed penin, poured knowledge, aid, and expansive mercy. This is verily a promise that shall never be belied.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa
In the previous programs, we were explaining another sentence of Ziyarat al-Yasin, and we were focused on one of the characteristics and one of the titles of Imam alayhi salam. We mentioned that Imam alayhi salam was named as the raised standard, the overflowing knowledge, and the help, succor, and shelter for the needy and for the grieved and distressed people. The sentence of Ziyara was, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-alamu al-mansoob, wal-ilmu al-masboob, wal-ghawthu wal-rahmatu al-wasi'atu wa'adan ghayra makdhoob. We talked about the first two, I mean, being a raised standard for the guidance of the people, and the overflowing knowledge, which was a reflection and manifestation of God's knowledge. And we talked somehow about different types of the knowledge that Imam alayhi salam has. And then we were talking about the ghawth, which means the succor, the help, shelter, and support and relief. We explain somehow about that, and then we came to this point that whenever we are in a difficult situation, we can call Imam alayhi salam to help us. And there are so many stories that Imam alayhi salam has come to help the people and has come to the people's succor. Therefore, we need to know how to call Imam alayhi salam. We said that the most important thing in calling Imam alayhi salam is our intention. The intention should be a pure intention. It should be sincerely for the sake of God. And we should not call Imam alayhi salam for the forbidden and prohibited things. Then when we want to call Imam alayhi salam, we said that there are plenty of sentences and ways to call Imam. And if you refer to Mafatih al-Janan, you will find various du'as and supplications in this regard. When you are in need of something, when you have a demand or haja, there are different supplications and ziyarat in Mafatih al-Janan that through them you call Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, to come to your succor and to your help, and to relieve you from the pains and the sufferings that you are experiencing. We said that there are some very short sentences and phrases that they are suggested in narrations, that whenever we are in need of the help of Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, we can call Imam alayhi salam with these sentences.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief? Imam al-Asr ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayhi, addressing the Shias, says, pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed, and heartbroken due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, all the afflictions, the problems, and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
Allahumma kar li waliyika hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا
The Ocean of Dua, Commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
I told you three of these sentences in the previous session, and there are two other sentences here that I would like to tell you, and because they are very short, you can memorize them and you can repeat them whenever you are in need of Imam alayhi salam's help and support. So the fourth sentence is Ya maw'udul muntazar unzur ila al muhtadar. So I repeat it once more so that you can memorize it or write it down. Ya maw'udul muntazar unzur إِلَى الْمُحْتَضَرِ. And the fifth and the last sentence that I want to tell you is الْمُسْتَغَاثُ بِكَ يَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ. الْمُسْتَغَاثُ بِكَ يَا صَاحِبَ الزَّمَانِ. It says that I am calling for your help and I am in need of your help, O the master of the time, who is Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And there's another point to be mentioned here, and that is there is no definite time or any numerical limit prescribed to seek Imam's help. So whenever you are in need of the help of Imam, you can call him. So there is no limitation in calling Imam, because, you know, sometimes I've heard some of brothers and sisters, for example, they say when you go to under the dome of Imam alayhi salam, under the dome of Imam Hussein, then there you can ask for one thing and God the Almighty has guaranteed that he will give you that one thing. But when we refer to the narrations, we think that there's no number for that. One thing, or sometimes I've heard three things, three demands, and you can make three wishes under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No, you can make as many as you like, because we, according to the narrations, the dua and the demands and wishes will be met and will be answered and fulfilled by God the Almighty that are made under the dome of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There is no number for that. God the Almighty is not weak. When so, for example, we say that just God is able to grant us one of our needs or wishes. No, God is not weak, and He has the all power which is needed to give us our wishes and make our wishes come true, and to answer our calls and meet our needs. So here is the same. When we are asking Imam Mahdi, Ajallallah Ta'ala Farjahu Sharif, there's no limitation for that, or any numerical limit, or any definite time. For example, just do it in the morning or in the afternoon or this day or that day. No, whenever you are spiritually inclined towards Imam alayhi salam and towards imploring his eminence, you can do one of these sentences. You can repeat one of these sentences that were mentioned earlier without any hesitation, and inshallah, Imam alayhi salam will come to your help and answer you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Ilm Fiqh az ulum sharifi islamis.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech,
the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech on Arab English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. Stay tuned.
امام صادق سلام الله علیه پسری داشتن به نام اسماعیل.
امام صادق علیه السلام had a son by the name of Ismail. Once Ismail came to امام صادق علیه السلام and asked him for a consultation. Ismail wanted to share his money with a professional businessman who was an expert in business and transaction matters, but was a drunkard man. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam warned his son about accompanying such a man and told his son, "The drunkard is the most unwise, so do not accompany him."
حالا پسر امام بود دیگه، معصوم که نبود که یواشکی رفت پولشو داد.
However, Ismail gave his share of income to the drunkard businessman and did not listen to his father. Ismail lost all of his money. When he was on the Hajj pilgrimage, he faced the house of Allah and said, "O Allah, I lost all my money. Please help me and give it back to me." Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, who was behind him, heard his request and stated, "What are you asking for? The person who is trapped because of his own actions is not either rewarded or admired by Allah. In other words, we are responsible for the results of our actions. If we are trapped by our own decisions, asking for Allah's help is a null deed." Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. To find more about this program and other programs, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
On September 27th, Syed Hassan Nasrullah,
the Secretary General of Hezbollah, a steadfast pillar of the axis of resistance, was tragically assassinated in a devastating Israeli airstrike targeting the southern suburbs of Beirut. This brutal attack